Everyone that's gathered in, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. We pray that the Lord will bless us even as we're found in his house today. It's good to be back, good to have fellowship once again with you. And we do thank those that filled in for us during our time of holiday. We do appreciate each one that came and filled the pulpit and preached the word of the Lord during those weeks. To our online audience as well, we welcome you. Wherever you're joining us from today, we pray that the Lord will bless you as you're tuning in to our broadcast. Do remember the services both today and the incoming week. We meet again tonight at 7 p.m. to worship the Lord in his house here. And of course, remember the season of prayer at 6:30. We'd love to see God's people gathering with us in the upper room and seeking the face of the Lord and seeking the blessing of the Lord upon the work. We come again this evening to the passage that we looked at on the last Sunday night that we were together. Whenever David came to Ahimelech there at Nob, and he asked for the sword of Goliath. And you remember that we mentioned that there were two different ways that we were looking at that text. Last time we looked at simply the sword and how it was so unique. And tonight we want to come back to it and look at three reactions to the Bible. Three reactions to the Bible. So do make that effort to come again this evening and invite and encourage others to be found out in God's house as well. Can we remind you then from Monday through to Friday of this incoming week is our annual holiday Bible club. It's a week in the calendar that we look forward to and we seek the Lord's blessing for. And certainly we encourage you to continue to pray much for this week that the Lord will bless those invitations that have been extended verbally, and even the invitations have been posted through people's doors. And let me just at this stage thank those that came and helped on Thursday evening, and thank those that distributed invitations at other times. We really appreciate each and everyone's help in that matter. But do remember this week and pray that the Lord's blessing will be upon it. The bus will be leaving Crawford's Bridge every night at 6:30, and then some games here and activities here in the church at 6:45, and then the meeting commencing at 7 p.m. So do pray much that the Lord will bless. We'll have even new children gathering. We'll have the old children coming back again. New faces amongst the gathering of children night by night. For this week only, the prayer meeting then will be pushed back to 8:15, and it will be a time of prayer only as we pray continuously and just specifically even for the week of children's meetings. So 8:15 this Wednesday evening, just for the 1 week only. Then the service is next Sunday, 11:30 in the morning with the season of prayer beforehand. And then next Sunday afternoon is our second drive-in service of the summer at 3:30. Ivan and Norman will be back with the trailer and with the sound equipment, and we're looking forward once again to having that opportunity to have that open-air service in the car park. So do again invite and encourage ones to come and be part of that next Sunday afternoon. We will be sending an invite with all of the children as well during the week of Holiday Bible Club to tell their parents even about it next Sunday, and hopefully even a bit of momentum from the week will carry into next Sunday as well. There are also, at this time, I've put two lists in the front porch, and the first list is on behalf of Let the Bible Speak. As we mentioned earlier in the summer, it is our turn once again to preach at their recordings. That will be Thursday the 15th of September in Lurgan, Thursday the 15th of September, and we really need your support on their behalf to come and be part of that congregation on that evening. And if you can come and even attend, there are three different sessions. There's one at 7 p.m., 8 p.m., and 9 p.m. I'm preaching at the 7 p.m. and the 9 p.m., and then I'm leading at 8 p.m. So if you can come for any of those, maybe your work means you can't get there to 8 or even just to 9, but if you can come and be part of that congregation, please sign the forms there in the front porch and tick as to what which of the sessions you can attend. If you can attend all three, excellent. You might be scunnered of me by the end of the night, but you can support and help Let the Bible Speak in this matter. And as I say, between today and next Sunday, we need to finalize the numbers so we can let the Bible Speak know how many from 6 Mile Cross are coming. And as I said, we really need your support. We value your support in this regard. If you can come, young and old alike, they like all age groups represented. And if you can come and be part of that gathering that night, please. There's also a list for the ladies in regards to the ladies' meeting. We're looking at a list of volunteers to cover the catering going forward. And if there is enough ladies, we'll put it onto a rota basis. There's one more ladies' meeting has been scheduled for this particular year at the end of September. And God willing, then there'll be four planned for next year. And so, ladies, if you can help with the catering, we only need two or three per evening. It's just a light supper as it was the first time. And so if you can put your name down on that list to be part of that catering, then a rota will be provided and put together. So do make sure you sign the right list, in case the men are signing to do the catering and the ladies are looking at it going, boys, if he's making a supper, I'm not coming. So make sure you sign the right list in the front porch. Can we ask for prayer for our Londonderry congregation? Next Saturday there is a Pride event in Londonderry, and our church there in the city is planning to protest at it and to preach the gospel at it, and certainly they would value your prayers next Saturday afternoon as they take that stand for the Lord Jesus. We're going to turn now to our hymn books, to the hymn number 67. The hymn 67 you'll find in the page 202. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. The hymn 67, the page 202, will stand when we receive the introduction, please. Look to the Lord in prayer and seek his face. Our God and our Father in heaven, we bow before thee. And through that precious name, O God, even as we've just been singing about, that precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank thee this day, O God, that Jesus Christ is our Savior. For neither is there salvation in any other, For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We thank thee, O God, for the security, even it is found in the name of Jesus. That thy name, O God, is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. We praise thee even this day, O God, for who thou art. We praise thee for thy name. We praise thee for thy person. We praise thee, O God, for thy attributes. We praise thee for the revelation of thyself even to us in Scripture. What a blessing it is to know our God. What a greater, O God, blessing it is to be known of him. Lord, we think of those awful words in Scripture, even foretold of what will come to those that die outside of Christ. For they will hear those damning words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And, O Father, we thank thee that each one that is saved today, the Lord knows them. Each one that is saved today, the Lord loves them. Each one that is saved today, the Lord cares for them. The Lord watches over their going out and their coming in. The Lord is their shepherd, and therefore they shall not want. And Father, we thank thee that we can testify afresh of that today. Lord, as we look back even in the last week, we can say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto hath the Lord been with us. The Lord's eye has been upon us. His ear has been open unto our cry. And Father, we gather this morning to praise thee, to thank thee for every blessing, to thank thee for every tender mercy, O God, and for every goodness towards us, even in these last number of days afresh. Lord, we thank thee for the spiritual and the temporal blessings of God. We can truly say, great is thy faithfulness. For each and every day, O God, thou hast daily loaded us with benefits. And Father, we come to thee, and it is our desire to lift up our hearts, to worship, to praise thee, to glorify and to glory in our Savior. The Apostle Paul, he gloried in nothing save the cross of Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in salvation. We rejoice in the plan of salvation. We rejoice in the person of salvation. We rejoice, O God, in the perfection of it. Lord, there's nothing else we need to bring. Simply to the cross of Christ we cling. And Father, we come to thee this day. We pray for blessings even to be afforded to us as we gather both this morning and the evening time. We pray for the presence of God. We pray for the protection of God. We pray for praise to be rendered unto God. And Father, that thou wilt be near, that thou wilt bless each one that is here. We thank thee for gathering people together. We thank thee for those of like precious faith. We thank thee for those that are saved, those that are justified by the blood, those that are sanctified by grace. And Father, we do pray that thou wilt continue to bless, continue to undertake for each child of thine. Bless every home. Bless every individual. Lord, we think of those associated and connected with our church that are still outside of Christ. We think, O God, of children, of the loved ones even here. And Lord, we think of the need even for household salvation. We pray that thou wilt bless. We pray, O God, that thou wilt answer prayer. We thank thee for souls that have been saved already this summer. We think of children being saved, even in Bible clubs and in camps. We praise thee for this. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt continue, O God, even to save precious souls. Save the children of this congregation. Save even those that grew up in this congregation. Those that came and attended the Sunday school, the children's meetings, those that grew up with Christian parents, and yet today they're far from thee. Have mercy upon them. Save their precious souls. Lord, we think of this week that we're coming into. We think, O God, of the holiday Bible club that is planned, and we pray for thy blessing. We pray, O God, that thou wilt stir the hearts by thy Spirit, that thou wilt work, O God, in parents, Roman Catholic parents, Protestant parents. We think of those that are atheists. We think of those, O God, that have no desire to have anything to do with Christianity or with thy word. And Father, we pray that thou wilt stir their hearts, that thou wilt do wonderful miracles even in our sight. And Lord, that thou wilt bring children in, bring families into this church, and save precious little ones even this week as they hear the word of God, as they hear, O God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that thou wilt speak to them. We pray that thou wilt save them. We pray, O God, for mercy even to be extended to many families in this area. Lord, remember us, we pray thee. Remember the going forth not only here of thy word, but right across this land. Remember the preaching of the gospel today in churches, in open-air meetings. Remember the preaching of the gospel even at the children's Bible clubs right across this land this week. Lord, as thou hast blessed in other weeks, bless again this week. While in others are calling, O God, do not pass us by. Do not pass this land by. Have mercy upon it. Turn the mercy drops into rain. Give us a sound of abundance of rain. Give us, O God, the faith to believe that the Lord is going to work once again. Thy, Lord, thy work is not done. We rejoice in this. Lord, the Lord is still upon the throne. He will build the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. O Father, come and bless us. Bless each one that is here. Bless our people as well that aren't with us today. We think of those on holiday. Rest them and refresh them. Bring them back in safety. We think of those that are sick at this time. Touch them. Remember those that are in hospital. O Father, be especially near to them. We pray for that strengthening of body and of mind and of spirit. We pray, O God, that even soon, that to be able to come home and the right treatment in place and full recovery even being made. We think of the elderly who can't join with us. Remember them. We think, O God, of those in nursing homes. Lord, may thy presence continue with them. May thy hand be upon them. Lord, do us good this day. Come and be one of our number. Come and stir our hearts. Come and fill us with thy spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The hymn 247 we'll sing together. The hymn 247. The page is 276. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 247. And again, we'll stand as we sing, please. Together the words of Psalm 148. Psalm 148. Coming very close now to the end of the book of Psalms. Psalm 148. The verse 1 of the Psalm. Word of God says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels, praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon, praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them for ever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word even to our hearts this morning. We'll sing another hymn together, 334. 334, the page is 312. It was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing, and my sins were washed away. 334. Let's remain seated for the opening two verses. We'll stand for the verse 3, please. Together. Turn now to the book of Ruth once again, picking up on our studies, this wonderful little treasure in the Old Testament, the book of Ruth in the chapter 3. Book of Ruth, the chapter 3, break into the reading at the verse number 6. opening five verses, Naomi has given the instructions to Ruth as to what to do. Now the verse 6, speaking of Ruth, says, "She went down onto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. It came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, 'Who art thou?' She answered, 'I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman.' He said, 'Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich.'" Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth. Titled the message this morning, "The Uniqueness of the Gospel." The uniqueness of the gospel. Let's just still ourselves in God's presence. May it be the prayer of every heart that the Lord will speak to each and indeed to every one. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. We thank thee, O God, for the return even of thy day, and we thank thee for the return to worship, to praise thee. We thank thee for everything already in this service, the singing of the hymns together, the prayer that's been offered, the reading of thy word. And Lord, now as we come to consider even this passage that we have read together, as we come to meditate upon it, to hear it preached, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt speak. And God, speak individually to every heart. Thou knowest the need of every heart, for man looketh in the outward appearance. It is the Lord who looketh upon the heart. And to that end, O God, we pray therefore that thou wilt speak, that thou wilt work, that thou wilt accomplish that which needs to be accomplished. If there be one in our gathering out of Christ without a Savior, well, that this will be the day that they come to the feet of Christ. This will be the day when they taste and see that the Lord is good. Father, bless us, I pray. Empty us now of self and of sin. Fill us with thy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. One key point which must be reiterated time and time again is that a Christian is not religious. A Christian preacher or evangelist does not stand to his feet and exhort and encourage men and women, boys and girls, to be religious. Religion and religiosity does not help an individual. It does not heal a broken heart, but rather it harms. Doesn't matter which religion you seek to choose or you want to speak about. Doesn't matter which one you highlight or hold to. None of them can measure up to the gospel. The gospel is unique. It is unique in its plan. It was John Blanchard who said, "The gospel is not a human plan for reaching up to God, but rather a divine plan for reaching down to man." And even in that particular quotation, I think of the plan of man even to reach God with the building of the Tower of Babel. If God accepted it, then the building would have continued. But God did not accept it. You see, salvation is not what man can do. Salvation is what God has done. Because it is unique in its plan and it's unique in its person. Again, John Blanchard, he said these words, "The gospel is who Jesus is and what Jesus did." And even as we come to these particular verses in the book of Ruth, I believe there is a gospel picture in view. I believe what is brought afresh to us in this event, and you think of the verses that we've read together, it's simply Ruth coming to the threshing floor. It's simply Ruth sitting down, lying down at the feet of Boaz. It's simply Ruth asking Boaz to spread his skirt, to spread that blanket, that mantle over her. And yet whenever you dig into those verses, you see a picture of the gospel. And I trust that the glorious fact is there to be seen this morning. The gospel of Jesus Christ is unique. I trust you remember what we've covered up to this point. You know, it's been a number of weeks since we were last in this book, but you remember the harvest has come to Bethlehem. God has visited his people in giving them bread. And Ruth, having turned to God and having returned with Naomi, has got involved in the work of the harvest. She got up that first morning that she was back. She wasn't asked to go, she went of her own volition. And she went to that place of the harvest. The Lord led her to the family or to the fields of Boaz. And there she remained. She worked morning, noon, and night until the harvest was over. She toiled all day. And she toiled every day. Now the harvest is ended. And the desire of Naomi for her daughter-in-law is that she would be united in marriage, not simply with anyone, but Naomi's desire is that Ruth would be united indeed to Boaz. She has given the instructions to Ruth of how to approach the Lord of the harvest. We considered those opening verses of chapter 3, the importance of the cleansing, the importance of washing her body, the importance of changing the clothes, the importance of the anointing of the oil, that fragrance, that perfume, even upon her person. But now in these verses, Ruth has left Naomi. Ruth has now made her way to the threshing floor in the night time. As I said, I want us to see a picture of the gospel, even through her time there, even through that time in the darkness of night, as she came, as she lay down at the feet of Boaz. Three things I want to leave with you. Firstly, I want you to see the verse number 7, the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel, because it tells us when Boaz had laid down at the end of the heap of corn, she came. She came. Such a simple detail. She came to Boaz. She had marked where Boaz was. Boaz had been there with his other reapers. They had eaten, they had drunk together. They had had that time of refreshment. It is not a case that Boaz drunk until he was drunk with alcohol. Rather, he had eaten and he had drunk and his heart was merry because the harvest was in. There was joy in his heart. And she had come. She simply came to where Boaz was. She came in obedience. Naomi had told her to go. Naomi had told her to come. Naomi had encouraged her to come. Naomi had told her, go to Boaz. And Ruth has now come to Boaz. She came in obedience. She came in confidence. And Boaz lay down for the night. When he was settled, there was no desire to withhold or to withdraw. It wasn't a case that she looked upon him and then she ran away. Whenever she saw that he was settled, she saw that no one was walking past or no one was coming near him, she went with that confidence. She went specifically, she went completely to Boaz and she lay down at his feet. You look at that verse again, it just simply says she came softly. She simply came. Nothing in her hand. No words upon her lips. She simply came to him. That's all. You see, my friend, that's the simplicity of the gospel. Now, it must be stated, there is great depth. There is great doctrine to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is much that is only understood by God himself within the gospel. Within the atonement, within the plan of salvation, within the redemption of lost souls, there is much that only God himself understands. But yet it is simple. uniqueness of the gospel is while it is high and lofty, and while it is deep, and while man will never plumb the depths, yet it's simple. It's shallow enough even for a child. So simple that a child can understand the need of salvation. It's simple enough for a little boy or little girl, a little child of 7 or even 3 or 4 may enter into heaven through Christ, the open door. Lord Jesus himself, he said, Mark 10, verse 14, suffer the little children to come to me. The gospel is simple enough for a child to comprehend their need of salvation, their need of a Savior. A little child can understand, I am a sinner, and I have done wrong against God, and I'm going to hell, but Jesus Christ can save me. That's why we're having a week of meetings for the children. That's why so many of our churches up and down our land. That's why we have children's evangelists. That's why the desire of the Church of Jesus Christ is to reach not only the men and the women, but to reach the boys and the girls, to tell the boys and the girls salvation. It's not simply bring the children in and have a craft day. It's not simply bring the children in and do activities for an hour and send them home just to keep them off the streets and to keep them off their iPads and their Xboxes. It's a desire to bring the boys and girls in and to tell them about Jesus. Because even a child can understand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You think throughout Scripture of the simple language that's used even in relation to the gospel and to the sinner. And the Philippian jailer came trembling in fear after the earthquake. He came and he fell before Paul and Silas. He says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas did not turn around and say, "Well, you need to understand the doctrine of justification. And we need a 3,000-word essay of what the Trinity of God is." No, they started with the simple language, "You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved." Now, of course, that's not where it finishes for a child of God. But that's where it starts. The dying thief upon the cross, a man of wickedness, a man of sin, a man even who had reviled and mocked the Son of God as he hung upon the cross. But when the Spirit of God worked in his heart and that dying thief turned to the Lord, what did he say? "Lord, remember me." What did Jesus say? "I shall be with me." Simple language. You know, there are so many different ways of presenting the gospel. Quite often language we use these days is words such as turn and trust. Turn from your sin, trust in the Lord, believe in him. In other words, repentance, that's the turning. Trusting, that's the faith. There's the repentance and the faith of the gospel combined in just those two words. Turn from your sin. Trust in Christ. The gospel is simple. The gospel is to be simple. The gospel is to be preached, to be brought in simplicity. I've said it a number of times, and I know you have heard it from my lips before, but Jesus did tell Peter, "Feed my lambs and my sheep, not the giraffes." It's to be at the level that everyone can understand. I think of the words that are found in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4. And Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, he says, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. The end of verse 3, the simplicity that is in Christ. Ruth simply came to Boaz. That's where it started. She came. And my friend, today, if you're not saved, you need to simply come to Christ, just as you are. Christ says to come. The Spirit says come. The bride, in other words, the church, says come. Salvation, the gospel, is simply this. Come to Christ. Come away from your sin. Come to the Lord Jesus. That's where it starts. There's a simplicity in the gospel, but notice secondly, there is a submission in the gospel of verse 7. It tells us she came softly. She uncovered his feet and laid her down. You know what I see very clearly in this verse is humility. She is humble in her practice because it tells us she came softly. There's no arrogance or ignorance. There's no seeking to startle. There's no seeking recognition. There's no desire to wake Boaz up. There's no desire to confront him. There's no desire to startle him. There's no desire to speak face to face, as it were, with him. There's a humility. She comes softly. See, in Ruth's mind, it's not about Boaz receiving her to be his wife, but rather it's about Ruth being united with Boaz. There is a difference in those words. It's not about Boaz having her. It's about her being with Boaz. She's humble in her practice. She's humble in her place. Because it tells us she comes to his feet. She does not lie down at his head. And she does not lie down at his side. She lies down at his feet. Not his head as if she is the authority, not his side as if she is his equal. She comes to his feet. Why? Humility. You're the Lord. And even her words, I'm only a handmaid. I'm down here. The lowest part of Boaz is where she placed herself. That's where Mary went to listen to Christ's word. Luke 9 and verse 39. It tells us she sat at the feet of Jesus. And she listened to him. That's where the sinful woman went to wash the Savior's feet. In Luke 7, she went and she washed his feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair. She was down at the feet. Not at the head. See, my friend, in the gospel, it's not about you and I in the primary instance. It's about Christ. In the gospel, we must decrease. He must increase. In the gospel, we must take our eyes off ourselves. We must fix our eyes upon our Savior. We must look away from that which is important to us. And we must look upon that which is special and precious to our Lord. Apostle Paul, he declared, Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul never speaks. He's no desire to speak about who he is. He's no desire to glory in what he has done or what he knows. He says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. He would also state in Philippians 3 in the verse 8, he says, I count all things but loss. Now notice the word for the excellency. The excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then he prays in the verse 10, the same chapter, he says, that I might know him. I've only one desire, it's to know my Savior. To know Him personally. To know more and more and more and more about Him. Never thought, oh, I want to further myself. I want to have this for myself. I want to keep myself to myself. No, Paul is this. I want the excellency of Jesus Christ. I want to know it. I want to know Him. You see, for you and I in the gospel, it's all about Christ. Too many there are who declare with pomp and pride that they're Christians. Some people walk around today with this badge of honor, as it were, upon them. I'm a Christian. As if they are something. As if that makes them high and mighty. As if that makes them head and shoulders above everyone else. As if that gives them authority. As if that gives them place. As if other people should turn around and go, wow, you're amazing. You're a Christian. It's not what Christianity is about. Christianity, the gospel, is about Christ. Always remember, whenever you are received, child of God, it's important to remember this. When the Lord saved you, your salvation added nothing to God. Nothing. God is unchangeable. He states Himself, Malachi 3 in the verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Doesn't matter if the Lord saved every single person in the whole world, it wouldn't change who the Lord is. Doesn't matter if the Lord saved no one in the whole world, it wouldn't change who the Lord was. God is unchangeable. And some people think to themselves, if I get saved, well, God's going to be so much the better for having me. Surely the church will be so thankful that the Lord saved me because I am so great. The gospel is not about you, it's about Christ. It's not about what you have done or will do. It's about what Christ has done for you upon the cross and what Christ will do within you. He will make you a new creature. You give your life and your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, He makes you a new creature. Must be submission, humility. Ruth, she surrendered herself, she submitted herself, she humbled herself, she came to the feet of Boaz, and there she remained. Doesn't tell us how long she stayed there for. I would imagine with the uncovering of his feet, after a while, the feet of Boaz got cold, and that's what woke him up. Doesn't tell us how long she was at the feet before he woke. She very humbly just stayed there. Giving off herself, her time, her comforts, whatever the case may be, just simply there. See, in the gospel, submission for you and I, as you submit, you give your mind, give your heart, you give your all. Jesus Christ said, Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. In other words, you take all thoughts of yourself, you bend them. You say, Lord, here's my life. Take my life and let it be consecrated. In other words, given to thee. Ruth was humble, her place. But I see also the verse 9, Ruth was humble in her proclamation. Whenever he asks her, "Who art thou?" she says, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." She's desirous that Boaz take her under his wing. She's desiring security, salvation. You know, there's confession in these words that she speaks. Whenever she says, "Take thy skirt and spread thy skirt over thine handmaid," what is she saying? I need you. She's confessing her need. She's confessing what she has is not enough. Remember, the law states she was to be cared for. The law of the land stated the widows are allowed the food. That's why she was in the field lifting the scraps. That's why she was going behind. The law of God stated, care for the widow and the stranger. Give them food. But now she doesn't just want the law, because the law is not enough. She wants the grace or the kindness of Boaz. And isn't that the truth of the gospel? The law has never been enough, because we've never been enough for the law. The law that God gave, not one man has ever kept it or fulfilled it. Jesus Christ came into this world, why? To fulfill the law. He's the only one that could ever do it. He's the only one who ever did it. Ruth is here and she's there at the feet of Boaz. And no longer is the law of the land, no longer is the law of God rather enough for her. Now she said, "I need the grace. Boaz, will you take me? Spread your skirt over me." In other words, take me under your wing. Take me to be your wife. You're a near kinsman. She's confessing she's nothing without him. She's confessing she needs him. She needs his union. She needs his love. She needs his security. Now that's a reality for each one of us. Each one that is without Christ. Without Christ, you're nothing. Without him, you have nothing. You might say, "Oh, I have a house. I have enough money to weather even this financial storm that's going on at the minute. I have security of job. I have a good family. I have a husband. I have a wife. I have everything I need." Respectfully, without Christ, you've nothing. You have no peace. You have no joy. No love of God. No fellowship. No union, no communion. When you come to Christ, my friend, you have everything. As the psalmist says, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, everything is there. You have the love of God. You have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. You have the peace of God, which passeth understanding. You have that union. You have that fellowship. You have that communion. You have that security. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And you have hope. Tell me, this morning, if you're unsaved, will you humble yourself? Come to the feet of Christ, the foot of the cross. Cast yourself upon Jesus. Ruth just simply came in submission to his feet. And there she stayed. There's a simplicity in the gospel. There's submission in the gospel. But thirdly and finally, the verse 10. their success in the gospel. Boaz answered and he says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. Blessed be thou of the Lord." You know, the response from Boaz is nothing but positive. Within his words, you can see evidence of his love. He calls her my daughter. It's a very warm, very loving term that he uses. You see, even that possession, as it were, he's willing to take her. He says, my. And then you see already, as it were, the adoption into the family. He's taken under wing, my daughter. You can see evidence of the joy that there is because he says, blessed or happy be thou of the Lord. Remember, there is much in this romance. It was amazing and completely out of the norm. Ruth left her home. No desire for the men of Moab. When she came, she had given her heart to Boaz. Whenever Boaz saw her, whenever Boaz came to her, whenever Boaz spoke to her, she had fallen on her face. You remember chapter 2. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? And she had sat with him at dinner time. He had handed her the food. And every day after that, there was never desire to be anywhere else or with anyone else. In spite of the age gap, it must be stated, Boaz is a lot older than Ruth. Boaz was probably around the same age as Naomi, maybe even a bit older. Because you remember, Naomi knew him. He had been a help to them way back before they'd ever left Moab. You see it even in the words of Boaz. He says there at the end of verse 10, "Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." She was willing to give her heart to an old man, to Boaz. She could have said, "No," and he says that even there, "Yes, I'm a rich man, but you could have given your heart to a young rich man. Would you give it to me?" He's a mighty man of wealth. She's a poor widow. Boaz really could have looked for someone of a better standing. Someone maybe with a father that could have paid a better bounty. Whatever the right terminology is, to take the wife or to take his daughter. But he's willing to go for the widow. His love is toward her, and when she came to the point of loving him, she came to the point of seeking him, she came to the point where she surrendered herself to him and called unto him to take her to be his bride, he does not turn her away. He does not say, "I've been waiting too long." He does not say, "You've missed your opportunity." He says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord." His desires to bless her, his desires to accept her, his desires to welcome her, and his desires to take her to be his bride. Now that's the success of the gospel. Romans 10:13. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the dying thief cried unto the Lord on the cross, "Lord, remember me." Christ did not turn away from him. Christ did not say no. Christ did not ignore him. Christ did not say, "You've been casting dirt in my teeth for the last number of hours." Christ turned to him. Christ spoke to him. Christ accepted him. called unto the Lord and the Lord saved him. No, it's a wonderful truth. The gospel has never failed. The gospel never will fail. Christ has been promised a bride. It was a covenantal agreement between Father and Son in all eternity past. Christ would come. Christ would fulfill that which Adam failed. Christ would die upon a cross. And Christ would be given a bride. You see that truth encapsulated 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body in the tree. There's a sacrifice for sin. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. There's the success of the gospel. That men and women, boys and girls, who were dead in their sin, are brought to life. Those that were sick and sore with sin are healed by the stripes upon Christ. Everyone that's been elected or chosen unto grace is saved, brought to Christ. What that means today, sinner, for you is this. If you come to Christ, you come and seek his salvation, seek his love, you will receive it. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That's the promise the Lord gave. If you seek the Lord, you will find him. If you knock, it shall be opened. If you ask, it shall be given unto you. What joy there is to be found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's unique. Simple enough for a child to understand. Tell me today, will you come? Put your faith and your trust in him. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. We thank thee for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We rejoice, O God, that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We thank and praise thee, O God, for saving grace. We rejoice that thou dost bring us from death unto life. Father, we do pray for each one that has heard thy word today, whether in the building or online. And those, O God, maybe that will listen at a later time, we pray for salvation to come. We pray, O God, that thou wilt speak to young and old alike. Lord, that thou wilt draw them unto thyself. Separate us now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us this afternoon. Bring us again this night, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.